When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Breaking news. Brandon Ayuk may or may not sign an extension today. We'll discuss that and more next on 49ers coaches meeting after sunrise. Hey, what's up? Welcome to 49ers coaches meeting after sunrise, powered by BetUS, the most succinct title of a show on YouTube. I'm Grant Cohn. That's the coach and Jesse Naylor, who are just waking up. Guys, how you doing? Did you get the continental breakfast?
No. We opted for no continental breakfast, Grant. We're good, though. We got
how
water.
How did you not get the continental breakfast? I mean, it's how they eat on the continent. It's so nice.
How they eat on the continent.
All right, no, this is serious, guys. Brandon Ayuk, today could be the day. Any day could be the day, but today could be the day because he was at practice yesterday and he dapped up the coach and the general manager and seemed happy. And they have practice tomorrow. And what a morale boost it would be for the team if Brandon Ayuk were out there in uniform wearing number 11. What do you think? I want to play golf today. Will I make it through my round before Brandon Ayuk signs an extension? What are we talking?
I think it's one of those things that I don't know if it'll be like announced today, but I could see it being announced right before practice and then he's on the field, or he's just on the field and it's like, oh, and by the way, Brandon Ayuk signed. We're good over here. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, first of all, having Brandon Ayuk on the field will be a major morale boost for the team. I think looking at practice 2 out of the 3 days, it felt very flat to me. And day two was really revved up, high energy. Yesterday had a weird vibe to it. You know, I don't know if that was something that, you know, we made up in our minds because we knew the Brandon Ayuk news, but it just seemed off. And then once he stepped onto the field and the whole thing happened, and then they went to 11 on 11s, everything felt fine. It just seems like if it's going to get done, it has to get done now. This is what we're 1 day past when Debo signed. I think he signed on the 31st. So this is right around the time it should get done. And if he's going to get traded, he has to get traded right away too. So something has to happen. I think that extension is right around the corner.
100%. I mean, I think that, you know, you got to look at, like, sometimes the truth is so simple. We talked about this. Sometimes the truth is just so simple that it's hard to just admit what it is. If he was going to get traded, he wouldn't be on the field walking around in front of the players. He would not be around. He would not be in the building. It's reported that Brandon Ayuk is still going to meetings. He's still ingratiated with the team. He's just not playing. This is much to do about nothing. I think that the deal is going to get done before camp is over. And, really, the biggest news is moving on to Trent, because this is really small potatoes compared to the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, before we move on to Trent, I'd love to know, and I guess we probably never will, but like, what ended up changing? Because it seemed like from the reports, like, this was the biggest standoff the Niners have had. Ayuk said they didn't engage him in negotiations after May. I don't know how true that is, but it sounds like Parag and John Lynch maybe were really dug in, and someone came through at the 11th hour and worked it out. Like, did Kyle do something? I would love to know what happened, because once again, someone was like the white knight right at 2 a.m. before the club closed.
It's Kyle.
Yeah. I mean, you saw I mean, we're not body language experts, but I mean, you saw the exchange between John and Brandon versus him and Kyle. And you could tell that, you know, he's been dealing with John all summer. You know, it was very much standoffish. You keep your keep your distance. I do not want to hug you. I'm going to back away from you as I'm dapping you up. And it's going to be very quick. John tried to make it more dynamic than it really was by overshaking his hand and pulling him in while DA was pulling away. Yeah, yeah. But as he walks up to Kyle, they literally embrace each other. You know, so, I mean, what Brandon doesn't understand is that this is just classic good cop, bad cop. They're trying to get Brandon whittled down exactly to where they want him to be. And then Kyle can come in and then act as if they're capitulating to something that Brandon wants, when really they just moved the goalposts so far that what they're offering Brandon or probably giving him as a bump or like virtue signaling to what he wants is probably what they were willing to do all along. It's all about posturing. It's all about making these guys understand that you're not just going to get your money. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to pine for it. And even when he's paid, he's going to be so happy that he actually gets the money that there's going to be new stipulations and new expectations put on this money that he can't meet. So this is the way of the NFL. They're not just going to give it to you. They got to groom you first to make you feel like you're, you know, you're grateful for getting the money that you've earned. But you know, everybody can't be CMC and Trent where they can leverage.
Also, I want to say this real quick too. We were talking about the obvious. We talked about this as well. It's like there's two things that as we were at dinner last night that we really just kind of put together in our minds. First of all, if BA was going to get traded and that was nearly imminent, there is no way they would have him around the team parading in front of the fans, walking into practice. It just wouldn't happen. There's zero possibility of that. So it's like the obvious was right there and we didn't see it. And then number two, you know, Pretty Ricky puts out the tweet, very reputable, by the way. He's been right about most things all offseason and been the first to it. So I trust what he says. But we all assume that it had to do with Brandon Ayuk because we're selfish. We cover the 49ers. That being said, when Ricky's confident in something, he's not randomly throwing it out. He is 100%.
He's not being cryptic.
Is happening. Puts exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So whatever he's got is either not this or he's not confident in it if it is this to put it out into the ether. So combining those two things, to me, everything is adding up to Brandon Ayuk getting extended.
Yeah, they're not going to have it in front of the fans, bro. It's not happening.
I want to say one thing, follow up on something you guys both talked about, the good cop, bad cop dynamic. That is so interesting to me because I love how Kyle Shanahan gets to play the good cop, like as if he's not the most important person in the organization working behind the scenes, also in the front office. Like what I would imagine if there were, let's say there was a meeting yesterday between Kyle and Brandon, and Kyle walks in and he's like, man, Brandon, like it's come to my attention that you're really upset with your contract. Like I had no idea. I'm over here coaching the team. I am not involved in finances as you know, I'm just the coach, but I've learned that the reason you're not at practice, you're really upset with your money. And you know what? I'm on your side, man. Let's get you paid. Let's work this out, man. I talked to John and they're going to do something, buddy. Like, does he kind of come in and play dumb and be like, I'm on your side. Let's get this done as if he hasn't been involved the whole time.
Dude, 100%. I mean, this is the equivalent of ESPN talking heads saying they have no vested interest in the way they talk about sports, but oh, we have TV contracts. It's like, yeah. It's a vested interest, bro. Like it helps you to say, I have nothing to do with contracts. And if you think about it, he's very quick to say that out in public. Like, I don't know what's going on. I have nothing to do with the money situation. That's their deal. You know, I'm here stuck on football. But Kyle, your final word on everything. All right. Which means that, and then on top of it, let's look at how the team is constructed. It's recipe based. There's specific guys that come in that play specific roles. All right. And if you're going to have a specific role, then come on, man. You mean to tell me that you don't have a specific value on that role? All right.
Also, Kyle wants to be liked by the best players on the team. And this structure of letting John and Parag be the bad guys allows him to come in at the end and be like, I'm fighting for you. Like, pfft.
Even more so. I mean, wouldn't it be even more advantageous for Kyle to lean into this because he'd actually be doing it with a player that really ain't impressed by him? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this could be the linchpin,
now he can really win him over.
really connect me with you. I know we've been going back and forth. I know that you see me for who I am. But finally, if I can be the one to give you that final hand up onto the summit of what you need, then you can finally say, you know what? It was tough love, man. Kyle was rough on me, but he kind of came in, leveled with me, got me the money I need. But now I'm his guy.
Yeah. Also, you asked Grant, what's changed? I think definitely a meeting with Kyle happened for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that meeting only happened after a few practices. I mean, let's keep it a buck. We've been there every day. These receivers cannot separate. They cannot
even Debo.
No,
I know the way that IU,
maybe Ricky can, but he hasn't really shown it yet.
He hasn't done nothing. He hasn't done enough yet.
And yeah, he's still untapped goods. We don't know. But Brandon Ayuk dominated last year. He was the best player on the field almost every single day without fail. There was no separation issues. And, you know, as bad as the offensive line has been in practice, I can also say there has been way more coverage sacks this year than what I ever saw last year. It's been crazy. Sacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll say it now, man. We've been here 3 days. We've seen about over 150 team period plays.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk is the number one receiver at his team. Full stop.
Well, I mean, the thing about Debo is we know what he can do, like in a live game with actual tackling. Like, he's so tough to tackle, but in these practices, yikes, man. I often stand there and I think, like, what routes can he run? Shallow cross, deep cross, smoke route, various screens. But, like, would you? He ran a nice slant and go the other day against off coverage against Yadam, who's been getting torched since the pads went on. But I wouldn't really trust him to run any dig out, corner, post corner, anything. I mean, no.
No, I don't see the separation. I haven't been really getting in on one-on-ones. I know you guys have been really honing in on that stuff, but just during team period, it seems like in order to get, I mean, there was probably two plays that I saw with Debo where, you know, his athleticism purely took over as far as like a technical standpoint from a receiver. That's on the go route on, what was that? The go route on practice two that was overthrown by Brock. And the go route in the second period of practice three up the seam that he scored on. Outside of those two routes, everything else, literally, there's been a front row seat to whoever's been guarding him. He can't separate.
Yeah. I'll take some super chats. Corey Soto, well, there isn't zero chance. Revis was at practice, biz as usual, and was traded 3 days later. Not the same, but again, not zero.
Yeah. Let me clarify. The thought was, going into yesterday, that something was going down yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so if that was the case and we're operating under that assumption, there was also like, oh, he's walking to the middle of the field to say goodbye to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. It's like, no, that's not going to happen the day he's getting traded on the field for everybody to see. It's not going to happen like
that. It would have been dramatic, though.
Yeah.
NorCal Benny G says, not to be confused with SoCal Benny G, says, on a lighter note, you can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. Ooh. It's okay. You guys didn't, you didn't have to pick it up. It's all right. Brother Bob says, you're the dancing queen.
Go ahead, man.
Dancing queen. Brother Bob. Anti-Kyle Levy says, has been a member for 15 months. That's a long time. Thank you. He says, thanks, Jesse. Need BA for a legit Super Bowl run. Been saying.
Yeah. I mean, certainly. I think we need all these guys
for a legit Super Bowl
run. Let's talk about that. Trent Williams. So he's just not talking, not showing up. He means business. And every day it seems like his position gets stronger. Panay Sewell, earlier this offseason, got an extension, $28 million a year. Today, Tristan Wirfs, extension, $28.1 million a year. Trent Williams probably thinks he's better than both of them, and he certainly more important to the 49ers than either one of those guys are to their team. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think Trent Williams is going to get figured out as well. Although now things are getting more and more complicated. Why don't you give your take? Cause I don't want to take it from you, but you had a take last night when talking about the Trent Williams situation, as far as what you think might be happening with the handshake agreement of getting his rest.
Yeah. So, I mean, I believe that the deal is done. He's like a cornerstone member of not only the team, but the offense. All right. We've seen the run game. They just don't have one without Trent on the field that could be seriously considered viable going into week one. He needs to play, but the facts are is that Trent doesn't want to have camp. Getting older, he doesn't want to practice. And for what it's worth, even getting him through a camp, you can almost say, I mean, yeah, you may get him in shape, but you're also gonna look at the customary 2 to 3 games that he's gonna miss every year. That is a super swimming in with Trent. It's like, you know, that's what's, you know, that's our normal. But I believe that the Niners, I just feel like Trent is a much more serious get than BA is, in my opinion. But nobody's really talking about it. I kind of feel like it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to get the deal done. And really what it seems as though is that Trent either has two weapons of use every time the offseason comes up. It's either I don't want to come to camp because because I'm too old, or I want more money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and the way he shrouds all of that is, don't push me or I'll retire. He's made enough money. He can always just drop out of the whole thing altogether. So he has the ultimate leverage. And I think it's more than, oh, I saw Christian get paid. Oh, I saw Brandon is about to get paid. Now I think I need to get my money. Let's not forget, Kyle came in on the 11th hour for Trent to get his deal done. I think that he's very much, you know, stuck to the core of this organization, and they know exactly where he stands. But for me, until I hear anything like different, I just think Trent doesn't want to come to camp. I think he's just over it. He wants to just shoot for the season, but they'll get it done. And I think it'll be a 1 year deal.
Oh, you think it'll be a 1 year? So they're gonna scrap the previous contract and go to 1 year.
I think they're gonna go 1 year deal, and then he'll be on a year to year deal.
Okay, maybe a 1-1, something like that. Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting take. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's definitely gonna get done. Really, I mean, he just wants guaranteed money, and I agree with that. I think he does want to sit out practice. Grant, last year he didn't want to practice anyways. He was out every other day. It was like a big deal if he was going to do any one-on-ones with anybody. He just is Trent. He's going to show up and he's going to be fine. And I will say this. I know that we've talked about other players, including Bosa, missing camp and how it's affected them. I don't know why, but I do believe that Trent probably will be almost better off for missing camp because of the age that he is.
Maybe. I do know that Chris Forster made a big point the other day saying that Trent generally does practice a little bit in training camp and that he benefits from it. So we'll see. I mean, I wonder if he's going to be like in football shape week one or when he'll be in peak shape. But I think another way to look at it is like whether or not Trent is at his best, it's too bad he won't even practice a little bit, because without him out there, like Nick Bosa has nothing to do. It's like he's going against McKivitz and Jalen Moore. It's hard for Nick Bosa to get better. And yeah, like him being there will help him, but him going against Trent Williams just a couple of times would make him better, has made him better. So it's like, that's my problem with Trent. Is like he could say that like tipping plays doesn't hurt him or not going to practice doesn't hurt him, but like, what about your teammates? What about Nick Bosa? What about being a leader? You're a freaking captain. You can't even like show up to hold in. You can't even hold in. I don't know.
That's my problem. One thing that I agree with that, and just to really piggyback on your point, what I've seen is in one-on-ones, Nick Bosa has been losing in one-on-ones back-to-back days. He lost to Colt McKivitz. He lost to Jalen Moore. He lost to Jalen Moore 2 days in a row on one-on-ones. He was really frustrated about it. But then you see him go in team, and he gets 2 sacks in a row, like knife through butter. and he just knows that he can like really stop the practice if he wants to. Yeah. I'm of the belief that because Trent isn't there, Nick is only practicing moves that he thinks he's weak at and that he wants to get better at against lesser opponents. That's exactly what it looks like, because the moves that he pulls in team, like his long arm, his bull rush, he doesn't do any of that in one-on-ones. And that's the stuff that he wins with. But in one-on-ones, he's working on scissor hands. He's trying to swipe and rip. And you could tell that he's like really trying to get technical, but he's losing in those bouts. I really do believe if Trent was there, he would get a little bit more out of practice and one-on-ones. And it's just something about the offensive line showing up to the defensive line with one-on-ones, and you guys got to match up down the line one for one, and there's really nobody there to challenge our edges. I mean, Colton McKibbitz is good, but Jalen Moore, Hubbard, and Brandon Parker, that's not something that you want to go through all a camp with to get your edges ready.
Yeah, he's definitely going through the motions. Whenever they're not in 11 on 11s, he's just kind of chilling, and you can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Trent, I don't know. Be nice if he would show up, but yeah, I agree. I don't think he wants to practice. And instead of saying, "Hey guys, I just don't want to practice, so I'm not showing up to training camp," you can say, "No, it's about money." And in making it about money, he can get a raise. So good luck to Trent. I hope you get lots of money. BA, brother Bob says, yep, Kyle Levy needs all his stars just to lose the Super Bowl. G.I. Jones says, F. Damon Bruce, David Lombardi, G. Cone. I said that?
Me? You didn't say that. You didn't say the second one, at least, I don't think.
Harold McAllister says, who do y'all think should be the other two linebackers next to Fred? Good
question. Give me the youngsters, man. Give me Winters and give me Graham. They are clearly the supreme players when it comes to athleticism, attacking the ball consistently every day. You can see them getting better. And I've talked about Jalen Graham since last training camp. I thought he was one of the better players, and we just never got to see him get on the field. But he made a massive play yesterday, as did Winters. I would love to see the two of them. I just don't know what the fit is. Grant, you and I have talked about this. Coach, you and I have talked about this. It seems like they're putting Graham as the backup Mike, and he is the replacement if Fred Warner gets hurt. I don't know that he can, or they see him playing alongside of Fred Warner.
I bet he could.
I'm sure he could.
I bet he could. I mean, Aziz played Mike in outside. I feel like, go ahead, coach. I don't know. Go ahead.
I think linebacker, we did talk about this. I think linebacker is a little bit interchangeable in that it's almost like offensive line. You know, guards pretty much can play all of the interior. Center may be a little hard, but you should be able to do it, right? Tackle should be able to play both sides. It could be weird, but you should be able to do it. I feel the same way about linebacker, especially interior from Mike DeWill or Sam. There's specific things that you need from them. The job isn't the same. But Jalen Graham, I think his skill set can translate from Mike DeWill. I think it can. D Winners, he looked a little unenthused on the first day of pads, but I think it's because he knows that he's behind DeAndre Devondre Campbell. I'll say I love what they're doing thus far in camp. Devondre Campbell really hasn't impressed me. Hasn't really flashed, especially during team period. I don't see him. There's nothing of note that he does during team period where he steps out and does anything. He's vocal to the crowd, though.
Yeah, he is.
Outside of that, I see the Niners needing to make a serious decision on what they're going to do, because they spent money to get this guy, but they also need to recognize that he was a consolation prize over Hendricks, the real running back the real linebacker that we wanted that didn't sign. So, this is good. We talked about this earlier before camp started. We wanted to be able to see, Devondre Campbell, get pushed, because if he didn't and came in here and just took the job with no type of competition, what does that say about our depth and development of Jalen Graham and D Winner? So they're pushing. They actually look good in team, and I'm excited about them.
My only issue with Kyle Shanahan, I love everything about him as a coach, but my one issue with Kyle Shanahan is his reluctance to start rookies. Young players. These guys have no chance to start week one. Zero chance. Which is too bad, because I think they'll probably be starting by the end of the season after Devondre Campbell and Demetrius Flanagan Falls play themselves off the field. I remember like 5 years ago, they drafted Dre Greenlaw. He was good right away. And they still played Quan Alexander over him all year while Quan was missing tackles and blowing assignments. And like, it really took Quan getting hurt for Dre Greenlaw to officially take over his spot. And all of a sudden he was like making tackles at the goal line and saving the Niners number one seed. I mean, it was obvious, and Kyle wouldn't react to it. So I think that's my only problem with Kyle. I think he's a great coach, but these two guys need to be starting, and they won't. Not right away.
That's the great preface. It's my only problem with Kyle. It's the only thing. Other than that, great. Yeah.
Other than that, he's great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at our sponsor, BetUS. We're back. Like BetUS. If you're looking for a new sports book this football season, BetUS is the answer. You already know about Bet. They've been powering the show for a while. They got the fastest payouts in the industry. Jesse knows what I'm talking about. 125% sign-up bonus, up to $2,000. Fast and easy deposits and withdrawal process. 24/7 personalized service. Every day, live wagering on all major games. Best betting variety in the business. 10% back on net losses twice a year. That's just generous. And your very own personal account manager. So let's check out what BetUS has right now for the 49ers, like player stats. Do you think Purdy is top five odds to lead the league in passing touchdowns? What do you think?
Top five odds?
Top five. I didn't phrase that well, but I think you might know what I mean.
Like the top five odds. Yeah, top five odds. Yeah, but not top five, period. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Oh, wait. That's not the one I wanted to look at. Hold on.
Select it.
You leaders. Leaders passing touchdowns. Okay. Brock, plus 1,200.
Yes, I knew it. I knew he'd be in there.
He is, right? It's Mahomes 1, Dak 2, Stroud 3,
mm-hmm.
Burrow 4, and then Purdy and Josh Allen tied for 5th. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I had a feeling he would be in there. Who's good?
Ahead of Rodgers and Love and Tua and wow.
Yeah. I kind of get it. Tua doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns. Rodgers and Cousins are coming off of injury. I kind of get it, actually. And knowing he's surrounded by all that talent, I mean, yeah, I think that's fair, actually. I do.
Should we put some down just in case? Just in case Purdy gets freaky this year and wins?
I think so. Because, listen, what led the league last year? It was like 36, 37 touchdowns. If Brock had played the final game, he would have been like 34 probably. Mm-hmm. So he was right there.
Okay, let's put 50 on it. I got 50 on it. Thank you. That's what I was going for. Okay. Let's go run. Let's see what Christian McCaffrey is expected to do. McCaffrey.
I'm taking the stat on this. Christian.
Rushing. Do you think he's expected to lead the league in rushing touchdowns this year?
No. I think he will be. He'll be one or two.
Be favored?
I would take that bet. Yeah, I think
he'll be favored. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Him or Derrick Henry and Mostert. So it's him. It's basically him and Derrick Henry are.
Dude, look at Jalen Hurts in the top five. That's crazy.
That's so funny, man. I feel like they're going to dial it back with Jalen Hurts a little bit this year because they just keep getting him hurt and they finally got Saquon Barkley.
Well, they also don't have the center to do the push anymore.
True. So I'm not picking him.
And unlike Josh Allen scores most of his touchdowns from like 5+ yards out. Jalen Hurts gets his from like the 1-inch line. So very, very different.
If you had to pick someone, who would you pick to lead the league in rushing touchdowns this year?
I picked Derrick Henry.
Nah, that was
he's not going to get a lot of carries, but he's going to get every goal line touch that they get, man. He's going to be a bulldozer.
I think I got a dark horse. I think Breece Hall.
Oh,
I like Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, hold on. Last year he had 12 touchdowns. Let me see Breece. Breece might be the guy who leads the league in rushing yards.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know what I mean? Sure. He only had 5 touchdowns last year, but he is so good.
With Zach Wilson.
Yeah, they couldn't score with Zach, but I think they're going to start a lot better without an Aaron's back.
Mm-hmm.
All due respect, I'm going with Derrick Henry on this one. What happened to 50? 50. There we go. I'm not done. Okay, I want to keep going. I want to see. Oh, they keep. All right, I'll put it in a minute. Rushing touchdown, rushing yards.
I like this. I like the Breece Hall play here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, McCaffrey by a ton. Then Taylor Hall, Barkley. I like Breece Hall here.
I like the Breece Hall play.
Breece.
All right, let's do one more. Let's see where Bosa is projected to go.
For DPOY. My
thing ever figures it out. What's up, BetUS? Huh. Well, that was pretty anticlimactic.
Internet.
What's going on? Okay, Christian McCaffrey. No, we're going with Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're going to go and see what's up with Nick Bosa. If they expect a big bounce back year for Nick Bosa.
He's going to do so well.
Plus 900 after Max Crosby, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, in line with Josh Hines Allen, who I said the Niners should draft instead of Nick Bosa. Not looking so stupid now, is it? No.
That's so funny.
Been waiting 5 years to say that. Let's go.
Man, you know what? It's sometimes it's not always about like who's most likely to do it. It's about the best value. I like the Danielle Hunter value. I think he's going to go crazy with the Texans this year. And he's always getting like 14 plus sacks every year anyways. So it's not that far-fetched.
Nick Bosa at plus 900, like, isn't that an opportunity? Isn't he the best player in the league? I thought he was the best. Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Plus 900?
Yeah. He is Nick Bosa, bro.
He is Nick
His
Bosa.
His name is Nick Bosa. All
right, let's go with Nick. It is a 49er
pretty
show.
Pretty good point I made. Yeah. Like Josh Allen, is his name Nick Bosa? No, it's not. It's Josh Allen, which is a good name. A lot of people use it in the NFL.
If you just look at him, he's Nick Bosa. That does make sense.
You didn't factor that in, but that's understandable. You really need a Stanford education. I'm placing my bets. 200 down to win almost 1800. We're definitely going to win. We won't find out, of course, for months, but there it is. Thank you, BetUS, for powering my show. Oh, that's not the one we're doing. Okay.
We're going to be rich.
Let's talk training camp. You guys have been there when the pads have been on, which is really the most important part. I'd like to know who have been the good standouts from your vantage point, which is better than my vantage point. It's a little higher.
Go ahead.
Where do you go?
Yeah, sure. The guy I've been talking up all training camp, man. I love Mason. And I think Mason has been undervalued for a couple years now. That being said,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Elijah Mitchell looks the best he's looked in a long time. And I'm not even necessarily advocating for him being above Mason in the depth chart going forward. But what I can say is he clearly sees this as a competition. And I think he's been extremely impressive every day. He is finishing his runs with hits, lowering his shoulder, seeking that contact. And every single day I've highlighted him as doing something really good. And then I'm going to throw out one more player, Jalen Graham, just because I push a Jalen Graham agenda on my show, and I would be remiss if I didn't do it here. Man, I really like Jalen Graham. I hope he finds his way on the field. I think he's going to be an impact player. You're talking about a guy who is a converted safety, yet he plays like a full-fledged linebacker, just has that speed. He can go side to side. He can get upfield very quick. He makes plays every time he's given an opportunity. Those two for me are the ones that I'm liking right now.
Yetur Gross-Matos, somebody who I really like. He's shown that he can be very versatile. They've had him in drop back phases. They've simulated blitzes. He's done really good on one-on-ones. He has a bigger frame than I accounted for. I mean, at 6'5", 260 pounds, he is a stout defender, very physical, and always seems to play at the same speed. He's in shape. So his first rep looks like his last rep. He's always pushing forward in team periods. And when we get a chance to look at him in Indy, he's always one of the first guys in line. So I'm very impressed with Yetur Matsus. Also, Demo. I mean, Demo, they're going to have to break out the bag. This team has got some boys they got to pay, and Demo's another one of them. He looks better than he did last year. He's confident, solidified leader on the defense. One of these guys where they're actually getting a lot of guys more reps on the outside and on the inside, because quite frankly, Demo really doesn't need that many reps anymore. He's kind of reached that status where he is who he is and everybody knows it. And on top of it, he still worked on his body. He looks better. Looks like he put on about 3-4 pounds. So Diamondo Lenore and Yetur Gross-Matthews have been two guys that have been very impressive by, that I've been very impressed by, and just an honorary guy who I've been impressed by too, who continued the best game of his career since the Super Bowl, Jair Brown. Jair Brown's been another guy that's kind of taken the next level. Seems to be a very vocal now, very much a leader. And, you know, you can tell guys when they take their reps during team, what guys are really trying to get coached up and get tutelage from coaches, and what guys actually know the defense and they get consulted by the coaches, right? We don't have to talk about your effort. We don't have to talk about your angles. It's more of, hey, what did you see there? Give me where you came. Give me what your thought process was on that play. Jair Brown is, I feel like, elevated his skill set into that type of coaching. He gets consulted now, and it's good to see.
Okay, I'm going to name my standouts as well, but first we have breaking news from Colin Cowherd. Keep your eyes out. Eye emoji for new Brandon Ayuk news.
Yep. Hashtag new deal
SF from Colin. Keep your eyes out.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
The first comment
trading him
reading is like fundamental. It's so crazy.
Hashtag right. New deal SF. He's talking about the new deal that was spearheaded by Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 30s that really got America back on its feet after the Depression. You
know, Colin is like fake underground media anyway. He's never going to put his neck out there. So if he's saying that, it's probably already been heard by multiple different levels of information. It's a deal coming.
Yeah.
But also like the tweet is kind of like weaselly. It's like, keep your eyes out for news. Like, yeah, we are. Don't worry.
We already are.
Part of the tweet that actually matters is the hashtag. And if you're going to put the part that matters in a hashtag, I got to wonder how serious you are. Although I think it doesn't take a freaking genius to figure out that Ayuk is probably going to get an extension by this time tomorrow.
To be fair, he did also say at the beginning of this week that there would be big news coming out of San Francisco before the end of the week. So he's been on to something all week. I would assume this is it.
That's when he knew it didn't feel like putting his name on it. Until the ink was actually signed.
Yeah.
Hashtag new deal SF.
Think about now that this deal is done, right? Allegedly. Think about that exchange between John and Kyle when Brandon walks out onto this, walks out onto the field. We talked about this. Like, that completely looks different if you know that deal is done. It looks like John capitulated and gave up something that he didn't necessarily want to do. And it looks like Kyle is the one who came in to grease the wheel of progress to finally get it done. That's how that exchange looks. It looks like, you know, John ain't too happy about having to get this deal done based off of all of the shenanigans that have been going on throughout the summer.
Well, I can't wait to see which side caved. If that's what happened, like, you know, that's did Brandon exactly cave or did the Niners cave? Because history would suggest the Niners cave.
The Niners cave.
Well,
okay. Well, let's talk about it though. Let's not be Johnny come latelys when the deal is announced. Let's talk about what caving would look like. Like, let's plant our flag in that, because
anything over 29.
To me, the average annual value isn't caving. That could be 26. That could be 30. It's the guaranteed money for me. If it's above, if it's 45 or more guaranteed money, then they caved.
No. Oh, come on. All right.
Fully now, guaranteed.
Wait a minute.
Yes,
wait
it
a
is.
Minute. You got to replicate his worth somewhere. So if you're not going to do it in the salary, then you would have to do it in the guaranteed money.
The guaranteed is what matters. The average annual value means dog squat.
Well, hold on real quick. So Ayuk seems to want the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. He's getting $30 million a year, 4 years, 120, but fully guaranteed, only less than $35 million. And all the guaranteed money is done after 2025. So if the Niners give more than that guaranteed to him and there's guaranteed money in 26 and 27, they freaking caved. If they can get out with no guaranteed money after 2025, that seems like a decent deal. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's
the
fair.
Amon-Ra St. Brown structure. They called it $30 million a year, but he might not be on their team in 2026.
Yeah. That's real.
Yeah, and if you look at a Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal and then look at Ridley's deal. Ridley's only getting 23 AAV and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, if you really think about how the others got paid, but he's getting more guaranteed. He's getting like 44 guaranteed or something like that. He's getting more than a Amon-Ra guaranteed. So, his job's actually safer. His pay's actually safer.
Ethan M says, "Who's going to be the MVP of this team this year?" Brock?
Fred?
I mean, nobody's going to say it, but it's Trent every year.
If they're good this year, it's going to be because Fred played out of his mind. That defense needs a leader.
David Spread My Sheets Lombardi says, "With Cody Schrader getting some recognition, will we see a trade of another running back? I don't think he's a guy we can start on the practice squad." Good question, David Spread My Sheets Lombardi. I think preseason and the joint practices will determine a lot there, but I'm starting to think that Schrader will make this team and that Isaac Garrido will get the Cam Latu treatment from last year and spend the whole year on IR.
100%. Cody Schrader, it's not even the fact that we don't believe in Isaac Garrido, but it's the fact that Cody Schrader has actually showed value that can't be hidden. And as soon as preseason hits, every team is going to want him. He's not going to be able to clear waivers.
And I think it's so funny every year how like Kyle Shanahan drafts a running back clearly in the middle of the draft. And Bobby Turner kind of like sees like, yeah, I like him. I'll work with him. Sure, he seems like a good guy. But then he also brings someone in as an undrafted free agent. Like, don't worry about it, Kyle. Don't even worry about this guy. And it's like, he happens to be better. Oh, that's funny how that happens every year. Thank you. I really want to see what happens to Kyle Shanahan once Bobby Turner finally retires, because no one ever gives Bobby Turner any credit, but he is like the godfather of the outside zone blocking system. He was doing it before Mike Shanahan. He was doing it at Ohio State and freaking Purdue. He did it with Mike Allstott and Robert Smith. Like, this is the OG, triple OG originator Yoda of freaking zone blocking.
He's Bagger Vance, bro.
He's Bagger Vance.
He's Bagger Vance.
So Dazza says, "So if defensive players are standouts, the defense should be better this year. But how's the run defense looking? Will it be better?" I mean, sometimes they're going against a terrible offensive line that can't block anything, so it's hard to say.
I think that's still the biggest question mark. I don't know what the depth looks like in the interior defensive line. I don't know how good they are. I don't know if they even, I don't know. I really don't know a lot
about
Jordan
Elliott dominating in camp.
He hasn't done anything. He had like one play yesterday. I was like, oh, there's Jordan Elliott. Yeah.
There's more interior presence from Kalia Davis and Evan Anderson than Jordan Elliott has shown in camp. Is that safe to say, guys, since you've been there?
Kalia Davis has been doing well in the one-on-ones.
Yes, he has been doing. Been doing well on the one-on-ones. Yo, can I say something? This is my first time coming to camp, all right, and being able to see all of the media members do their work as we're doing our work as well. Grant is the real deal, bro. We went over to Grant to go shake Grant's hand during practice, and Grant had a scribe of notes, all right, that looked like the yellow pages, all right, and we did too. I'm telling you, it's just something I noticed. Like, I'm going to be real with you. If I'd have came out here and Grant was a shitbag, I'd have been like, Grant's a shitbag, bro. I can't believe this. You know what I'm saying? But this is amazing, bro. Like,
thank you.
The real deal.
My memory isn't so good, so I got to write everything down. I want to have every single detail I can from, especially the team drills, but all periods. Quality over Connery says, "What's up, Grant? How are we feeling today?" Phenomenal. Excellent. Okay, let's get back to the topic we were talking about. Standouts. Look. No one's ever going to praise this guy, and maybe I'm wrong to do it, but we mentioned that the secondary is looking great, and there's a bunch of coverage sacks, and we went through all the people in the secondary except one. George Odom. This dude has finally gotten an opportunity to start, and he's making plays. He's not just, like, hiding out there and not getting beat. Like, he's intercepted Brock Purdy. He's broken up multiple Purdy passes. He is physical. He thuds up as hard as anyone else on the team. Pause. And I think he's really deserves some credit. because Malik Mustafa made a couple plays before you guys got there without the pads on. Everyone's like, oh man, give him the starting job now. And George Odom, 30-year-old safety, is like, no, absolutely not. This is my opportunity. And it's looking pretty good so far.
I agree. And I feel almost bad that we didn't bring him up. And, you know, in a way he has, you know, I'm gonna be honest. He makes plays, and it's one of those things where I feel like we are all have this view of him of being a special teams guy that nobody necessarily wants to validate exactly what he's doing on the field. And that's the feeling that I get about his performance of camp, is that he's doing just as good as anybody that we would need to have in that position. But it's just last name is Odom. If he was another guy, even if he was a guy that we've never heard of, that would even be enough for people to start, like, you know, making this guy into like a hometown hero. But I guess because we've seen George in a lot of tough situations and not perform well during years past, it's hard to really give what he's doing this year a lot of validation. But what you're saying plays, we've seen the same thing too. And just the fact that it kind of like jogged on our memories why you brought it up is almost emblematic of that point within of itself. Like, he does need to start getting more recognition.
He's got some speed that the Niner safeties don't generally have. He's way faster than Hufanga and Brown. It doesn't make him better, but like, it pops, you notice it.
Yeah, it's no, very true.
And that's exactly what I was just going to say, is he looks like a corner. And I think that we overlook him at safety because of that, but he is playing out of his mind right now. I mean, every day, what has he had? A pick almost every single day, right? That we've been
here. But again, I just have to bring this up. Is that sometimes you can get caught, you know, inside the game of the game. And like, we could be watching this stuff and be giving him props, but we know what George Odom is. And is it something to be said that George Odom is shining in this camp? Has the standard of this team gone down and people just don't notice it? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Where the fact that all of a sudden George Odom is starting to have good camps.
All right, we've got 15 minutes left in the show. Let's go to the bad standouts, players who have underwhelmed at best through the first week.
Aaron Banks, for me. I mean, Aaron Banks he's part of the problem at this point on that offensive line, which is unfortunate. I think Aaron Banks was really good his second year. Surprisingly good, I'll say. Maybe not really good, but he was surprisingly good. Last year felt like he regressed, and I think a lot of that we just assume was, hey, you know, he had some nagging injuries. He had the turf toe, and he had the shoulder, and he just had some things going on. And so the expectation was he would come out and he would be one of the better players. But unless something changes, he's very much a product of Trent Williams, it seems. Because right now, he doesn't look good at all. I mean, is it fair to say that the other side of the offensive line is the one that we should worry about least without Trent Williams? I mean, McKivitz.
Every time they try to run to the left, it's like stuffed at best. It's like no gain at best.
Yeah. And he's a big, big part of that. And so you look at the other side of the line, it's like, well, you've got a rookie in Pooney, but I mean, he's doing pretty good overall. You know what I mean? He's at least built for the part. He's learning on the job.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of complaints there, but Banks has been, dare I say, bad thus far.
Yeah. There's some bright spots along the defensive and offensive line. But just the trenches in general, I'm just not happy. I'm not happy with the overall fight. I'm not happy with how some guys are in the shape of some guys. T.Y. McGill is out of shape. Javon Hargraves is in better shape than last year, but I still think he's out of shape. Offensive linemen, you know, we've got some tweeners and some guys that are undersized, but I don't see a lot of pop or fight. But really what made me kind of talk about the trenches as a whole was the red zone period of yesterday's practice. Abysmal. It wasn't even a look. They should have been playing 7-on-7 out there. I mean, the guys knew that they had about 13 plays left in practice. They had already put up over 15 plays in two team periods, and they basically made brother-in-law agreements with each other. I won't go hard if you don't go hard. Let's just go ahead and finish out this practice. They just didn't look like linemen, man. on both sides of the ball. And I'm starting to see that a lot. We're starting to look at indie periods, defensive line. Coach Kocurek maybe has one group of defensive linemen up on bags. You got 80% of the entire defensive line group sucking on water and on knees with their helmets off, just kind of relaxing until their rep is coming. That's not football. We even know that camp isn't football. So we know that that's not football, right? Offensive line. Three practices that we've been there for the three padded practices. Offensive line, to Coach Forrester's credit, has lost their rest period after period 9 going into period 10 because of the type of periods they've had been on team, right? And we're not looking at mental areas. We're looking at guys giving up on blocks, not having tenacity. Some guys are just flat out of shape. And then we have to just talk about the motivation level of the one-on-ones. Nick Bosa is coming in, but I haven't seen Leonard Floyd win a one-on-one all camp. All right. And if he did, I wasn't there to see it. Right. And as far as team is concerned, I haven't seen Leonard Floyd flash at all. Okay. As far as his contribution to where the defense stands. So right now, football is still a big man sport. It still starts at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I'm worried about the trenches.
Okay, I got that. Great answers. I'm going to go defense again. Isaac Yiadom, 22. Seems like anytime the Niners need a completion against his secondary, it's on him. You're not going at Lenore. He's better than last year. Charvarius Ward is a shutdown corner on this team, like playing at 75% speed. And then there's Yiadom, who plays with a really, I don't know, like it seems like kind of tight hips, narrow base, a lot of cushion. And he was getting beat by Ricky Pearsall yesterday. I'm looking at Isaac Yiadom. He had a good year last year. He was targeted 47 times. Man, he's going to get targeted so many times on this team because there's nowhere else to go if you're the opposing quarterback. So I think what's going to happen, I think Lenore, as good as he is inside, I think he's much better outside. And I think Renardo Green's going to end up taking that third cornerback spot. That's my prediction.
Maybe it's because no matter who is out there with Charvarius Ward and Lenore, because both those guys are really good, is going to seem like a weak link and they're going to get picked on. I'll have to watch Yiadom closer, but maybe it's because I really was low on the Yiadom signing. You know, everybody's like, oh, he's the savior and he's this and he's that. And I said, look, 28-year-old journeyman, or however, you know, I think he's 28, year old journeyman don't usually come in and just make impacts. It's not the way it works. But that being said, I've been pleasantly surprised with like his body type. I feel like he has done well against Debo mainly, I guess.
That's my thing. That's what I was going to say. Early on, he did well against Debo. I was like, okay. But it's like, if it's Debo, like, sorry. Yeah. He can't guard Jennings or Pearsall.
Okay. All right. I'll have to watch him.
Watch the one-on-ones. The one-on-ones are on my side of the field. They're further away.
Yeah.
The wide receiver ones.
I've got a different view of him, because when I see him, he's closer, he's a leader. True. He's just his body type compared to the rest of the corners, like, damn, this guy is put together, you know what I mean? So
he's big.
I was surprised by that answer.
I've kind of flip-flopped on him two or three times, but the last few, I'm out on him now. Tomorrow I could be back up on him, you never know.
Okay, all right, I'm out
on him for now. Okay, any more bad standouts, people we need to really, I mean, hold on. Just not people, but like Drake Jackson, dude. I know he had a patellar. It's a serious injury, but I'm starting to wonder if he's ever going to make it. I don't know.
Oh, no, that's over. He's done. That's over. I don't know why you're still wondering.
Fair enough. And it'd be nice to see something from Robert Beal, but I haven't.
It looks like he worked on himself over the summer. He has much more of a pro ready body than he did last year. I'll say that he hasn't flashed in team as much, but I have seen him doing well in run stopping. He hasn't really won anything or done anything in one-on-ones. I haven't seen that a lot, but that's something that I've also noticed too. In the one-on-ones, there seems to be a lot more interior work being done, maybe because we're so low on tackles. They don't want to wear these guys out to all of practice. But I mean, that's even more reason for Trent to hurry up and get back, and even to have Aaron Banks back. I mean, if you think about it, who was out? John Feliciano's been out all of camp. All right. Spencer Burford's out. Trent Williams is out. All right. And Jake Brendel is coming in and out. Right. So right now the offensive line is chipped up. And the most that they're doing right now is working the interior defensive line against those boys. But, you know, you got to ask yourself, are those guys really getting a look, right? Is Kalia Davis, is Kalia Davis really getting the look with, against Nick Sakel? You know what I mean? Like, is Jordan Elliott really getting a look against Braden Mays? Like, no. It's, you know, these guys need to hurry up and get back so iron can sharpen an iron.
Okay, one more good standout that I wanted to mention before we move on. And I just forgot who I wanted to say. Damn. I was like, no, we have to mention this guy because he's been so good. And how do we forget? And I was like, no, I just forgot his name. Oh, well, that's the problem. His fault. The
offensive defense.
Are we getting, hold on, are we getting to another topic or is this it? Because if it is, then I've got another one that I can mention.
We have one more topic, but name someone and I'll remember. Go ahead. Good standout.
I was gonna say Schrader.
Cody.
I like that. Yeah, Cody's yeah, we can do that for the we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the top rookie right now. Yeah. Who is the top rookie on the team through a week of camp?
I'll take Schrader in the sake of there's only so many rookies and I just said his name.
Right.
I think Cody Schrader is surprising based off of his athletic score. I mean, him and Guerrero, he's the antithesis of Guerrero. He's doesn't test relatively high. In fact, he's one of the lowest RAS ever for a running back. He shouldn't physically, based off his testing, be able to do what he does. But he's extremely experienced. He knows exactly what to do when he gets the ball. He's a fast decision maker. He's very decisive. He's one cut and go, which is exactly what this offense needs. He's sure-handed. He runs good routes. And he's a good blocker. He literally does everything that you're looking for. Now, is he ever going to be a number one back? No, I doubt that. But if he's your number two or number three, I think you'd be pretty ecstatic to have Cody Schrader on this roster. So I like what I've seen from Schrader.
Renardo Green. Yeah. I've been impressed by Renardo Green. Just his approach to the game. One of the first guys out. One of the last guys to leave. I love his pre-work during practice. You know, he gets so he already's got a couple of OGs. He hangs around Isaac Yiadom a lot, hangs around Demo a lot. You could tell he understands the dynamics of football and what it takes to get on the field from like a people level, right? You know, we could look at saying that may not matter, but you know, look at Trey. You know, he had a people level issue on trying to get through the team, right? I feel like Renardo Green understands the pro atmosphere. That's one. Two, the play on the field. I mean, he's eager, man. Breaking up passes and team, being able to close on guys, being sticky in coverage. And one thing that you always want is you want him confident. You know, when you get yourself a little pup and he's got to be a working dog, the first thing they tell you is like, yo, within the first 6 months, don't train him. You don't want to stifle his fear. You want him to be able to have confidence and the ultimate drive to go do everything. I see that in Renardo Green. Right. He's eager to play. He's very responsive. And I think that he's going to find himself a place on the field pretty soon. If not right away on defense, definitely on special teams. Renardo Green has impressed me.
Real quick. I want to say, Grant, I heard you say on one of your shows that you want to see Pearsall against one of the better corners on the team. You want to see if he can beat a true NFL corner. I think Green's a true NFL corner because he can't beat him.
Can't beat him.
Good call. Good call. I you can't say that Pearsall has been a standout rookie yet. He's only practiced twice. He hasn't taken any one-on-one reps. He's only caught a couple of passes. I mean, he could end up being one of the top rookies in the team, but it's still too early to say that. Okay, I remember who I wanted to say before we get out of here. We got to get out of here in about 3 minutes. Good standouts. Especially yesterday, Ronnie Bell. Hasn't had a great camp. My thing with Ronnie is like, I don't understand, like he's inconsistent or I don't know if he's a knucklehead or whatever, but like when he brings it, he's good, especially as a receiver. And I thought it was interesting. Like yesterday was Ricky Pearsall. It's supposed to be a full day of Ricky and Ronnie Bell was just flat out better than him. He beat Tre'Davious Ward yesterday for like a 15-yard catch. And then he had a touchdown in the red zone. I like Ronnie Bell. I think he's every bit as talented as the Niners first round pick. And if he like locks in, he'll make this freaking team and contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was my guy yesterday. As far as when we talked about guys that stood out, it was certainly him. I mean, I think he took the show yesterday.
You'd be giving
way
like
better than Danny Gray.
You could. Yeah. Yes. I could tell you give like on field insight because we saw Ronnie Bell going off, but you don't necessarily get like the full grasp of those plays when you're not down there, right? But we saw him going. That's a good call.
That catch he had in the corner of the end zone.
How was that?
Triple coverage. That looks incredible.
It was excellent. I mean, he can make really difficult catches. He also can drop like the easiest punts. It's like, dude, well, come on, man. You can do some high level stuff. You beat Tre'Davious Ward yesterday. I haven't seen Debo do that. I haven't seen Pearsall. Who the hell has done that in camp? Him.
Yeah.
So, hey, but you know what's crazy though? What's crazy is that we've talked about the receivers not being able to separate, the receivers not being able to get things done, but we've been mentioning Ronnie Bell and getting Brandon Ayuk back. I hate to kick a dog while he's down. Danny Gray, it's a wrap. He was seen getting worked on yesterday off to the side. It's like the consistency is not there, bro. And like, for what it's worth, exactly what you do is what we need. And like, it's too long, man. Dollar late and a dollar short, man. When I saw him working out his hamstring and his glutes on the sideline before practice today, it's like, what else is new?
Yeah.
You know,
We got to get out of here. Christian says MVP sleeper on the Niners, number 18. Who's that?
Kicker.
Oh, Chris Conley. Nicholas says, thoughts on Sorensen's response to Demo calling Staley a defensive genius. Sorensen says the right things, but it appears to bother him. I got to go back and check that out. That's a good question. My egotistic aura says, BA putting the pen to paper today. Woohoo. I'm going to go play golf. I hope he doesn't do it anytime soon. That's it for the show. Powered by BetUS. Thank you, Coach Jesse, and the good people at BetUS and everyone who watched. We'll be back tomorrow. You guys going to be there?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And we're also doing a big dinner at my house tonight where I'm making the pasta sauce. So,
it's going to be a show. Yeah. I can't wait.
See you guys.
All right, boy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.